What's the process like moving from developing this in your kitchen to moving into a larger manufacturing facility?
Oh, it was so hard. I mean, I went from making it at home, rolling out bars with a can of beans to what's going to work at a larger scale. I'm not here without Jason. I talk about how he's creative and artistic, but it goes beyond that. So it started off making bars literally one at a time in that rented kitchen. As I mentioned, we're in there till 2 a.m. I think early on, we were making like 30 bars an hour.
What was it like building that early business with a friend?
I know people say don't go into business with your friends or family, but as I mentioned, Jason came on this trip to Iceland, and Jason and I, during my travels around the world, Jason is that one friend. He's been my best friend my entire life. Like, you're coming on every trip. We're going through, no matter what it is, you know, the best of times, the worst of times, we knew and we know we can handle it. He's the one who came back after a summer of this side hustle and said, hey, what do you think about making this a legitimate business together? And so that was in the fall of 2019 that we officially started Bar You Eat together. And
you guys switched to BPI certified compostable wrappers, first of its kind in the space. What was that process like?
I was working at a paddleboard shop, so I was selling these bars out of a mason jar, and people would bring Tupperware reusable bags. They would just grab whatever they needed, and the feedback was they love no plastic, no waste. And we immediately were like, all right, how do you package something with no waste? Like, that's waste. So compostable packaging was part of the brand day one.
What are some personal growth that you notice about yourself and even your partners?
But you're just constantly learning, constantly putting yourself out in the community and absorbing what you can to be a better person, a better brand, and be well educated and an advocate for things you believe in.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Duck Pond Podcast. Today we have Sam Nelson, co-founder of Bar You Eat, the energy bar that grew out of his love for simple bars in Iceland. Made with dates, thick roll oats, local honey, zero preservatives, and wrapped in the first 100% compostable packaging. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on here. Excited to be a part of this.
How did you come up with this whole idea?
Well, you mentioned the Iceland part. So I spent years traveling around the world, living out of a backpack. And a couple years I was guiding in Iceland. I was doing sea kayaking and trekking. And this company I worked for brought an energy bar on every trip we did. I didn't think much of it at the time, outside of it just being good food. But there's a really unique connection to food, people, and places. And so my childhood best friend, Jason, who grew up across the street from me, he came out to Iceland and we had this epic 24-hour adventure. And we're hiking, we're doing everything you can imagine. And there's this point where we're sitting on top of these bird cliffs, we're eating these bars, we're looking at the views, and you don't forget that. And so when I moved back to the States, that moment stood out and that bar stood out and all the experiences tied to that bar. That bar was simple. It was whole nuts and seeds. You saw all the ingredients. You knew all the ingredients and it was naturally sweetened. Like, you could make this bar and you should be able to make the food you buy. And so I wanted that. I didn't see it anywhere in the States in the grocery stores. And so selfishly, I just made this bar for myself. I made a bar that was sweetened with dates and honey, that had whole roasted oats, nuts, and seeds. It honestly, there's, you know, it goes even deeper. I come from a sport, nutrition, fitness background, and it has a 4.5-to-1 carbs to protein ratio. I wanted to have a bar that gave me, because it was just for me, long lasting energy without the big spike and crash. But unlike a lot of other bars, I didn't want to feel guilty eating this bar while I sat maybe on the computer all day. Like, I didn't want a bar that was only for my activity days. I wanted to have it as my routine every day. So from Iceland to Colorado, that's the inspiration to making this bar for myself.
You started this while working in a paddleboard shop and you asked your friend Jason for logo and design help, right? What was it like building that early business with a friend?
I know people say don't go into business with your friends or family, but as I mentioned, Jason came on this trip to Iceland, and Jason and I, during my travels around the world, Jason is that one friend. He's been my best friend my entire life. Like, you're coming on every trip. We're going through, no matter what it is, you know, the best of times, the worst of times, we knew and we know we can handle it. So honestly, it was never a hard decision. Like, oh, should I be getting into business with my friend? It was easy. And it was honestly his idea. Like, I made the bars selfishly. And then you get the peer pressure to start selling them because you've given them out to all of your friends and family. And all right, well, let's sell them. I'm selling them out of this paddleboard shop. I need the art design. And Jason's incredibly skilled and artistic and creative. And I just asked him too many favors. And he's the one who came back after a summer of this side hustle and said, hey, what do you think about making this a legitimate business together? And so that was in the fall of 2019 that we officially started Bar You Eat together. And as I mentioned, all the travel, all of the hard decisions and experiences we've had together, it was easy. I knew that this was going to work between the two of us. And I know he feels the same way.
That's incredible. Sometimes you will just meet life partners and best friends that immediately click. And it's so hard to find that in a business partner. I've heard so many horror stories of friends, families, and even non-friends and family and a business partner just completely screw you over. But it seems to you felt that chemistry from the get-go.
Yeah, there's a lot of trust. I mean, we grew up across the street from each other. We've known each other since we were 2 years old. The joke is we've done everything together, and it was always like a first and second dinner. So first dinner at Jason's house, cross the street, second dinner at my house, every sport activity, school. So yeah, I'd say natural progression, and it's fair for folks to say you really should be wary of going into business with friends and family, but There are people you just know it's going to work, and we communicate well. We know each other's skills very well. We know where we need help. We know how to, you know, ask for it. Sometimes I'm not great at asking for help, and he knows that about me. So like, there's that as well.
That's incredible. So your bars use dates, thick oats, local honey, and simple and whole ingredients. But was there ever a version you scrapped because it didn't hit your flavor or texture profile? Or the standards, and even though it would have been easier or cheaper?
No, not really. I'd say the closest thing, because I didn't try to start a business. I wasn't making this bar to start a business. So really, the closest thing was a little trial and error on the bar that I wanted personally, on getting that 4.5 to 1 carbs protein ratio and tinkering with the nuts and seeds and the fats I wanted. But there wasn't this whole like, let's scrap it. I'd say the closest thing was early, you know, I'm living at my uncle's house, you know, sleeping in the basement and just using what they have. So I played around with agave instead of honey for a period of time because, you know, open the cupboard and that's what's there. But honey was ultimately what I liked and what I wanted to use and was happier with what that provided as far as nutrition. But we never had a major scrap and change. And the original bar that we have is still the original bar I made for myself. Honestly, the coffee pecan bar is almost exactly right after original. I was making coffee pecan for myself as well. So that's pretty much unchanged. And the oatmeal raisin and peanuts and cherries, those were just really fun processes where those early years were in a shared rented kitchen late night. It's friends and family helping us volunteer, helping to make bars anyways. But we're just going around our awesome small community of Steamboat, our friends, our family, our community members. Do you like this? Does it have enough peanuts? Does it have enough cherries? Yeah, give us your genuine feedback. So we really just leaned into this amazing community we have and got their feedback as we slowly expanded that early product line and continue to do that as we try to innovate moving forward.
What was the process like moving from developing this in your kitchen to moving into a larger manufacturing facility and telling your vision to someone who didn't make it with you from the start?
Oh, it was so hard. I mean, I went from making it at home, rolling out bars with a can of beans to like, what's gonna work at a larger scale? I'm not here without Jason. I talk about how he's creative and artistic, but it goes beyond that. He's got skill sets in design, this engineering mind. So when I wanted to make bars at a slightly larger scale, Jason was 3D printing molds for us to use and make larger batches. So it started off making bars literally one at a time in that rented kitchen. As I mentioned, we're in there till 2 a.m. I think early on, we were making like 30 bars an hour, like from the time we walk in and we're prepping to cleaning and out the door. And soon it was 60, then it was 120. All right, how do we get to the next area? Jason innovates a new custom mold, a new way of rolling it out and cutting it and packaging it. We're getting up in the 200s and 400 bars an hour. And at that point, we're pretty much maxed out on our space. So that's when we moved into where we're at now, is our own facility just outside of Steamboat Springs in the town of Hayden, where we've got a commercial kitchen, we've got a big warehouse, and we've got a lot of room to grow, which is exciting.
you guys switched to BPI certified compostable wrappers. First, it was kind of in the space. What was that process like? And how do you want your, and what do you want your consumers to get about why packaging matters for Bar You Eat?
It was, I'd say we're fortunate in the sense that when we started day one, as you mentioned, I was working at a paddleboard shop. So I was selling these bars out of a mason jar, and people would bring Tupperware, reusable bags. They would just grab whatever they needed. And the feedback was they loved no plastic, no waste. And we immediately were like, all right, how do you package something with no waste? Like, that's waste. So compostable packaging was part of the brand day one. It was a bigger expense.
Okay.
It was a lot to learn. There was some early challenges, but we were small. We were like, the coffee industry had some compostable materials that we could use early on. But when it came time to grow and to move into our own facility, that's when it got really hard. We leaned heavily on Elk Packaging, who supplies us with materials, and they're incredible. We're always happy to shout them out. But when it comes to self-manufacturing the bar as the first company ever with the BPI certified compostable wrapper, you don't just get to go to another company and ask them, how do you do this? How much heat does it need? How much pressure? How much time? What's the speed that it can run at? You have to find this out on your own. And the you doing it is my partner, Jason. And it is legitimately months, blood, sweat, and tears trying to figure this out. Just that you don't have a lot of resources. You can talk to people who work with plastic, but there wasn't anyone using those materials at the time with bars. So it's hard to put into words how hard it was, especially on him, but it is incredible to see where we are now, years later, doing it ourselves. Just it's awesome. And we want to show the world, not only our customers, but the industry, that compostable materials are the direction that people want to go. Us as consumers, we want better materials. We want to make a better impact on the world. So we're excited to lead that charge. The challenges are definitely worth it.
I agree with you. I think it's 100% worth it. You guys switched from a side gig to taking this into a full-time business. What were some operational surprises that you didn't see coming? Maybe shelf stability, supply chain, freezer, or shipping issues?
We didn't see any of it coming. This isn't the world we came from. I mean, certainly we've got backgrounds and a little bit of business, a little bit of marketing, a little bit of ops, but we are not CPG, consumer packaged goods people. 6 years in, yes, but it has all been new and scary and challenging. And we lean heavily on the advice of others. We reach out to anyone and everyone we can. So it was hard to figure out what equipment could support our bars. We're an oil-free bar, been oil-free from day one. Equipment is meant to run with your bar having oil. It makes it smoother. We spend hours and hours cleaning up because we don't use oil. We're really proud of that, but it's hard. It adds a unique challenge where things start to stick. Dates and honey are sticky. Like, it's a big mess that we have to clean up, and we have to pay close attention. So incredibly challenging to figure that out. As we've scaled, the ingredients, of course, are really challenging as well. There are things that change with supply chain, where you always got to be on your toes, and we're still learning as we go, but trying to have as many resources as possible, making sure we have the right ingredients and are ready if we need a backup.
In what stage of your company did you decide to go retail, or did you go into retail day one?
We went retail day one. And I know it's not necessarily like the cool thing to do because everyone wants to do e-com and D2C, but we were really bootstrapping it. I mean, Jason and I together were like, all right, here's $3,000. Let's put it in, get all the packaging, get all the ingredients, get into this rented kitchen and see what happens. And so the only place you're going to sell is your local shops. And so it was immediately brick and mortar, our local gym, the local sandwich shop, the local outdoor shop. The first big store for us was Natural Grocers. And it's kind of crazy. Like, I look back and the first packaging we had was a stand-up pouch with four bars in it. They all stuck together. Had a label that we just printed on there, the nutrition facts printed on the back. Like, it looked bad. The user experience was bad. But somehow with all that being said, the bars were good enough that we could get into natural grocers and people kept buying them. So we just built off of those early retail relationships and set our eyes on, all right, how can we just be seen everywhere in Colorado? First, everywhere in Steamboat, then everywhere in the mountain towns, then everywhere in the state, then the region. So we've really leaned into that. We've always had a website, but I'd say it's not until the last couple of years that we are really now focusing on how can we better present and better offer our products on an e-com channel, on our website, on Amazon, on other third-party online channels. That's where people shop just as much as they do in person. So we're learning as we go, and brick and mortar was where things started, but we want to be balanced. We want to be available to everyone wherever they shop.
How are you seeing the split between e-commerce and retail growing over the last few years? Are you seeing online sales taking over more of your revenue, or are they still pretty evenly split?
We're still mostly a B2B business. So the majority of our sales are to other retailers, but it's slowly growing on the direct side. It's easy to hate on Amazon, but Amazon's actually been a really good resource for us. We're continuing to improve and grow, and you can see it. We engage with people daily. And when you tell someone, hey, you can get it at barueat.com or Amazon, the reaction to being on Amazon is night and day to the website. That is, that's where people like to shop out of convenience, and I get it. There's everything under the sun is there. So, it's got a lot of opportunity, a lot of potential, and we're leaning into that. But our split is still mostly B2B, and it'll probably hold pretty steady. But we're putting a little bit more focus on the direct side.
If you guys could build one wild flavor that's inspired by your time in Iceland and your Colorado roots, no constraints, what would that bar taste like?
So the bar I had in Iceland was a rhubarb. It was sweetened with rhubarb, and it's still like, Bar U, it's a great bar. I love all the flavors. I love everything about it. But that bar in Iceland, that rhubarb bar in Iceland, was the best bar I've ever had. I would try to use rhubarb. Like, it's just, it's so freaking delicious. So that's like wildest, like, let's get some wild rhubarb and go crazy and have something that no one else has. And, you know, there's rhubarb in yogurts and other things, but man, it would be cool to have that in a bar and really tie it into those original times in Iceland, where we'd walk up to we had this place where guests could stay if we did overnight multi-day trips. And when you would walk up, I mean, rhubarb plants as big as you, they're 4 to 6 feet tall rhubarb plants. And so anytime we wanted rhubarb, you just go outside and cut a stalk. So it would be cool to have that tied to the original bar that I had in Iceland, the rhubarb bar.
Very inspired now to pick up some bars before my next ski trip. I did a ski trip in I think it's Colorado. Went to Vail. Is Vail in Colorado? Beaver Creek?
Yeah, Vail's in Colorado. Yeah, we're just like an hour and a half north of there. Steamboat Springs, beautiful mountain town, great skiing out here. Our bars don't freeze too. I mean, like, they put them in the freezer and freeze, but they don't turn into a rock. Go out and eat like any bar, it's going to be a rock. It's going to break you, hurt your teeth. Like, you're worried. Our bars stay soft and chewy. We call it a four-season bar. It's not going to melt in the summer, and it's not going to break your teeth in the winter. So we got you covered.
That's perfect. So looking ahead, where do you see Bar UE in 3 to 5 years? Not just in terms of flavor or distribution, but impact, sustainability, maybe in new product lines or building a community. Where do you see yourself?
Man, all three of those areas, we definitely see ourselves growing. On just the business side, the retail side, and the presence, we expect to be well known west of the Mississippi. We're definitely going to have a greater presence on the East Coast, but we're in a position, and we're leaning into, if you're west of the Mississippi, if you're the Rockies, down to Texas, Pacific Northwest, California, we want people to know Bar U Eat. We want to be a part of those communities as well. We love to show up at participatory events. So sure, we love our cool pro and elite athletes, but it's really fun to go to that community 5K. That might just be a fundraiser for a local nonprofit, the fun family 3K, like, you name it. We love those community events. And I think there's a lifestyle component where there's a culture in mountain towns. We like to play hard. We like to work hard. We care about the people around us, the environment. So we want to have a culture, a lifestyle tied to that. So we want all of it to be well known, from the great products to the fun lifestyle, the fun humor. And certainly you'll see Bar You Eat in some new categories. We're always playing around with some innovation. Rhubarb is a dream, but we've got some other things in the pipeline and some new flavors and some new channels as well.
That's incredible. So looking back in the last 6 years of building this brand, what are some personal growth that you notice about yourself and even your partners?
I mean, we are learning every day. We're still eager, almost to a fault. You know, we want to reach out to people, have questions. I think for personal growth, patience, you might call yourself a patient person, and then 6 years into starting a business and building out a manufacturing facility and fundraising and R&D, hiring, you realize what patience really is. So definitely a lot of personal growth with patience. It's on for me personally, there's definitely an ebb and flow, but trying my best to be productive and balanced. When we're making bars until 2 a.m. in those early years, there's no balance. We are making bars until 2 a.m. We're not having dinners with our significant others. We are then waking up and trying to sell Bar You Eat and then hit the road on the weekends. There's no balance. So really trying to find balance in our lives, personally, making sure we're there for our partners. I've got a almost 1.5-year-old, so making sure I'm there for my family and spending time with my wife and my daughter. So there's definitely some personal growth there. But you're just constantly learning, constantly putting yourself out in the community and absorbing what you can to be a better person, a better brand, and be well-educated and an advocate for things you believe in.
100%. Well, Sam, this has been incredibly fun to have. I look forward to trying your bars once we go to Bass Pro Shop and even before my ski trip. Where can our listeners find your bars outside of Amazon?
So outside of Amazon and baryoueat.com, if you're living west in the Mississippi, you've got places like Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. You've got King Super, City Market, Whole Foods, Natural Grocers. Other places, your boutique independent shops, your co-ops, your natural and organic stores, your outdoor gear stores. And if it's not there, give us a shout. Jump onto baryoueat.com, send us an email, say, I want Bar You Eat at this shop. We'll get it there. We'll give them a call. We're a small company. You can chat with us. So we love and appreciate our customers and always appreciate when they give us a shout and a recommendation. So please do.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Jason.